If you've got a Bible here this morning, we're going to read in a few moments' time from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, I'm going to commence to read at verse 8. For those of you who are new, haven't been here the last few weeks, we're in a series in the book of Exodus. We're looking very specifically at the Ten Commandments, and we have come to the fourth commandment this morning. This is one of the most debated commandments. If you know, Paul set this up a few weeks ago. The first four commandments are really focused on God and our attitude to God and our response to God. And then the other six commandments are really focused on our love for our neighbor. And so we come to the end of this, the first four, when we think about our love for God. So let's read God's word from Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read verse 8 through to verse 11. Let's listen to God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. Now, when I was a child, Sunday was a very, very different day from the other 6 days in the week. On a Sunday, growing up as a child, we went to church three times in the day. Three might sound like a very small number to some of you. Campbell was boasting the other week about the number of times he was dragged along to church. Was it five or six or something? All these different services and children's meetings. Sunday was a special day. We wore special clothes. Your Sunday best. We had a special lunch, Sunday dinner. It was different from all the other dinners we had the rest of the week. And it was a day of rest, apart from church, lots of church. We rested from television, except the news. You were allowed to watch the news and songs of praise. And we rested from sport, which wasn't good when you live in a sports mad house. And we rested from schoolwork. Weren't allowed to do your homework. That was a blessing. That was wonderful. And many of you could maybe identify with Sunday being a different kind of day. Perhaps it's alien to you. You're younger than I am. I'm 42. Maybe a lot younger. You think, whoa, that was a bit different. Sounds very different from how I grew up. Or maybe you didn't grow up in a religious home who took Sunday as a very special, unique day. But it wasn't just religious families. Our culture in Northern Ireland many years ago held Sunday as a very special day. The shops were closed. And the swings were chained up. I don't remember that. I'm not old enough for that. But the swings were chained up in the parks. You weren't allowed to have fun in a playground on a Sunday. Now, the word holy, and we find it here, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The word holy means set apart, something that is special. And Sunday was certainly set apart. It was a day that was different from all the rest. But does Sabbath observance, the thing I've sort of talked about, those memories, does that belong to a bygone generation? Is that an old-fashioned relic from our past, or is there any relevance for us today in 2018? In our culture, Sunday is anything but special. It's very different from it's very similar to the rest of the week. Now, the concept of Sabbath is certainly found in Scripture. But how do we handle it today? What do we do with a day like today? What does the Bible actually say? Well, we've read about the Sabbath. We've read about it in Exodus 20. But the concept appears much earlier. It starts right at the start of the world in creation. And we find this concept in Genesis chapter 2. It says, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, set apart, different from all the other 6 days. Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And the fourth commandment that we've read here in Exodus 20 is linked way back to creation. That's where it finds its foundation. That's why they reference it here. And we're told to imitate what God did in creation. Look at verse 11 again of Exodus 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so that's what God is saying to the children of Israel here on Mount Sinai as he gives the Ten Commandments. He says, you're going to take one day out of seven and you're going to take it as a day of rest. And the reason you're going to do it points back to creation. That's what God did in creation. So it talks about a day of rest here in Genesis 2. The first time you'll find the word Sabbath used in the Bible is a few chapters back from what I've just read in Exodus 16. Now, we preached through the first half of Exodus last year, Paul and myself. We started this series. And so last year, last June, in fact, I preached on Exodus 16. And I took a little bit of time to touch this whole topic on the Sabbath, made some similar points that I'm going to make today. And really back in Exodus 16, when God uses that word Sabbath for the first time, it's the story of God feeding his people in the desert. So if you don't remember what happened in Exodus, God's people, the children of Israel, they're slaves in Egypt. They've been there for 400 years under the rule of Pharaoh. And God miraculously delivers them out of Egypt. And they pass through the Red Sea and they're heading to the Promised Land. But they're traveling through the wilderness. They're traveling through the desert. It's a group of about 2 million people who have escaped out of Egypt. And they're a place where there's no food. So how are they going to stay alive? And what happens in Exodus 6, or the early part of Exodus, is God miraculously feeds his people in the desert. As they travel towards the Promised Land, he sent them food every day. Little birds called quail that they could eat, and special bread called manna. And so every morning they would wake up and this manna, this miraculous bread, was waiting for God's people to eat. He's a God who provides in miraculous ways. This happens 6 days in the week. But in Exodus 16, God introduces the concept of a Sabbath. There was one day when they took a day of rest. They didn't go out in the morning out of their tents with their little collection pots and go around and gather the bread. No, on the Sabbath, they were to take a rest. But how could they eat? How could they supply their family the food that they needed? Well, the day before the Sabbath, God sent double the amount of bread. And so the day before, they collected double. And so they could take a rest on the Sabbath. The people rested from gathering. And what we find there in the book of Exodus is completely countercultural. Not thinking countercultural to what we have in society today. It was countercultural for the society of its day. There was no other culture in the time of the children of Israel who had a day of rest. Under Pharaoh, they were forced to work. They were slaves. They worked every single day. But under God's rule, they were commanded to take a rest. And the purpose of the Sabbath was to bless his people. The main blessing was physical rest. It's not good to work every single day. But also when the time they came into the Promised Land, it became a day of worship. So they rested from their work. They didn't work on the Sabbath day. But it was also a day when they could focus on worship. And so they went to the synagogue or the temple. And it was that day holy, set apart specifically for the worship of God. Now, as we read our way through the Bible, we soon discover that the children of Israel, the Jews, were not good at observing the commands that God had given them about the Sabbath. And what we find in the Bible is there's two extremes. Two extremes. And I think sometimes these extremes can come into our thinking and culture today. One extreme was they failed to observe a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day just became a day like any other day, a day for business. And what the children of Israel were doing is they were acting like the pagan nations all around them. They weren't setting a day apart. By the time we come to the New Testament, the time of when Jesus was living here on earth, the children of Israel had gone to the other extreme. They weren't being lax. In fact, they were being extremely tight and pernickety with the Sabbath. And that really came from the Pharisees, religious leaders in the day. The Pharisees were obsessed with observing the Sabbath. Now, their problem is they had gone beyond what God had said in Scripture. And the Pharisees had made a list of rules and regulations. Things that you could do on the Sabbath, or more importantly, things that you were not allowed to do on the Sabbath. So they put down rules about how far you could travel, and it wasn't very far. If you're going to go on a journey, it was a very short distance. Lots and lots of things that you could not do. Lots of man-made restrictions. And so what had happened by the time Jesus was living here in the New Testament time, instead of being a blessing to the people, the Sabbath had become a bind and had become a burden and something that was really hard to keep and something that caused a lot of guilt amongst the people. Now, when Jesus lived here on earth, he observed a Sabbath. He set one day apart. But he observed the Sabbath not how the Pharisees had instructed him to observe it. And because he didn't keep the Sabbath the way they wanted, it provoked a real reaction. Jesus faced lots of criticism. You'll find that in the Gospels. You read about things that he did on the Sabbath day that really riled the Pharisees. It tells us that he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It says it was his custom. It was something he did every week. He would go to the synagogue to worship his Father. So regular worship on the Sabbath was part of Christ's practice here on earth. One of the things he didn't stop doing on the Sabbath was stop being compassionate to other people. And this is what brought him into conflict with the Pharisees. There are six accounts in the Gospels where Jesus stopped beside people who had diseases or illnesses or disabilities, and he healed them on the Sabbath day. And because he was being compassionate to people, he was healing them, he faced criticism from the Pharisees. You could do this the other 6 days of the week, but not on the Sabbath day. They didn't seem to be impressed that Jesus had the power to actually heal these people. What they were more concerned is they were doing it on the wrong day of the week. And Jesus answered his critics, and he said these words here in Mark chapter 2. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, what was Jesus saying in those words? What he was really saying was the Sabbath was given to be a help to humans. The Sabbath was given for our benefit. It was designed to be a blessing, and it wasn't designed to be a bind the way you have made it to be. So what we need to do here at this point is we need to come back to the question I posed right at the start when I set the scene. Is it still relevant for us today? We've read a commandment here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is it something that still is relevant in our society? There are people who would say no. I'm not talking about people outside the church. There are people within the church who would say, no, it's not relevant to us today. We do not live in Bible times. We do not live in the time of the Jews, the children of Israel. We are not under Old Testament law. And the Old Testament law of what we read here in the Bible is not binding for the church. So it's not relevant what we read here in Exodus 20. People will say we are saved by not keeping the law, not by keeping the law. So it's not by keeping these things, keeping certain days as special, that will save us, earn us favor with God. No, how are we saved? What is the gospel? The gospel message is that we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not things that we can do. It's through faith in the finished work of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. So keeping one day as special and holy and set apart, that will not save us. That will not earn favor with God. It is through faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so a day like the Sabbath is no longer binding to us. Also say that nowhere in the New Testament is the church directly instructed to observe the Sabbath. Yes, you'll find it in the Old Testament, but you will not find it in the New Testament. As a result, we are no longer obligated to keep one day in seven as special. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossians church when he writes to them, Colossians 2, don't let anyone judge you with regard to Sabbath days. So there must have been people who were judging them what they did or didn't do on the Sabbath day. He says, don't let anyone judge you with regard to what you do or don't do on the Sabbath day. So does that mean that the Sabbath day is now irrelevant for us? I don't think so. Yes, we are not saved by keeping the law. We're saved by grace. But it says in the Bible, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. That's what Jesus Christ said himself in Matthew 5. I didn't come to abolish it, to wipe it out, the law you find here in the Old Testament. I came to fulfill it. He came to keep it in every way. And we've got to think, what role do these commandments have in the lives of believers? And we've been thinking about this each week as we have moved through these commandments. We are studying an Old Testament passage. Are these commandments that we're looking at in depth, are they still relevant to us? What is the purpose of these commandments? Well, as we've said many times, these commandments cannot save us. Do you know what the rule of the commandments really is? It's like a mirror. And when we look at it, we see what we're really like. We see that we fall short of God's standard so often. We look at the commandments, yet none of us can save it. It shows us what we're like. We're sinful people. And it shows us that we need a Savior. And what the commandments do is they drive us to Christ. And we put our faith and trust in what he has done to save us, not in our good efforts, because our good efforts always fall short. The commandments point us to a Savior. But the other rule of the commandments is, shows us how to live godly lives. The commandments show us how to live lives that please God. And so in the commandments, and we'll come to this over the next few weeks, it says, don't steal. God doesn't like us taking things that don't belong to us, that belong to our neighbor. And so we want to live godly lives. Stealing shouldn't have a place in our lives. Okay? If we observe, keep that commandment for the rest of our lives, will that get us into heaven? No, it's by faith in Christ. But it shows us how to live a godly life. It tells us not to murder. The commandments show us a guideline for godly living. Don't kill your neighbor. What else do the commandments say? Do not commit adultery. And so it shows how to live godly lives that please God. So in my life as a Christian, somebody who's trusted in Jesus Christ, how should I live? Just live in any old casual way? Treat my wife whatever way I want? Go off with other women? No. The commandments say, do not commit adultery. And so we don't just throw the commandments out as if they have no relevance, no reality to our lives. No, the commandments show us how to live God-honoring, God-pleasing lives as his children who have put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. But here's also something really important we need to think about. The Sabbath actually predates the law. Yes, the Sabbath is part of the commandments that God gave us as the law on Mount Sinai. But the Sabbath was actually given way before that. It's actually part of creation. What did God do in creation? He worked and he took a rest. And what do we do, and what is even this commandment? It points us back to something that comes way before the law is even given, back to creation. When we keep one day set apart, we are imitating God who took a day of rest. I think there's a relevance in the Sabbath even today. But often we look upon the Sabbath as a bind and not a blessing. Perhaps that's the way we grew up. Very restrictive in the past, a list of rules, do's and don'ts, things that weren't biblical. I think many of us have reacted against that. And our reaction against that, we have treated all days the same. And so a day like today is just maybe very similar to every other day. But sometimes I think we might be guilty of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We've reacted to maybe things that were too strict, too legalistic, too tight in the past, and we may swing the other way. And what do we do when we throw everything out? We lose the physical blessings that God has designed in a Sabbath, and we can lose the spiritual blessings that come from it as well. I want to suggest here this morning, we need a Sabbath more than ever. Not one that's a legalistic bind, but a Sabbath that is a blessing for God's people. We may need a Sabbath more than ever before. Do you know why? Because our world is frantic. Our world is nonstop. We live busy lives. We live lives that are crammed full of work demands and family demands. My generation, put myself in this generation, sort of a lot of the young families that we have here this morning, we are exhausted. When you stop and talk to anybody, you say, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy. We rarely rest. We rarely sit still. We cram our lives full of things. We spend our life running here, there, everywhere with all the things that our children are doing. And we are a generation who are burnt out and are stressed out as well. We are the generation who has turned its back on the Sabbath. And we are the generation who are burnt out and stressed out. My suggestion is we may need the Sabbath more than ever before. So how should Christians, if we do decide to keep the Sabbath, how should we keep the Sabbath? Well, the first question we need to tackle is, which day do we keep? Because, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that things have changed. In the Old Testament, the Jews kept it as a Saturday. So God started his creation on a Sunday, as we find in Genesis 1, and worked the way through, making all the things, and then rested on the Saturday. But here we are on church on a Sunday. Why is that? Well, there's no direct instruction in the New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament will say that the church should now meet on a Sunday. But we do that because that's when the early church started to meet. The early church started to worship regularly on a Sunday. We see that on Acts 20. The first day of the week, we see the church meeting together to break bread and to worship as well. And if you study church history, you will see that's what happened very early on. The Sunday, the first day of the week, became a special day. And why did it become a special day to the church? Because some special things had happened on the first day of the week on a Sunday. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead on a Sunday. And the resurrection is the vital part of our faith. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. That is crucial. Without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there would be no forgiveness for our sins. But his death on the cross would be meaningless unless Jesus Christ had risen again. A dead man cannot save you. And so he rose again on the Sunday. What else happened on the Sunday? Well, the Sunday was the day of the week when the Holy Spirit came. It was the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came upon the church. 3,000 people became Christians on that Sunday when the Holy Spirit came. And this new day of the week, this new day for the church meeting, also was given a new name. We read that in Revelation 1, where the Apostle John writes about the Spirit of God coming upon him on the Lord's Day. And that's what they referred to as the Sunday. They called it the Lord's Day. Here's the interesting thing. The early church would have met on the Lord's Day, Sunday. That became their focus, as opposed to the Saturday. That would have been a day of work for them. They would have worked on a Sunday because that was the culture of the society they lived in. They lived in the ones in Jerusalem would have lived in a Jewish culture. They would have taken a Saturday off, and so you would have gone to work on a Sunday. So what the early church probably did is they went to work, and then they probably met in the evenings once work had finished, and they met together as a special time as God's people. It's possibly caused friction between Jewish people and Gentile Christians. That's why Paul wrote to the Colossians, don't let anyone judge you on Sabbath days. There's maybe a bit of tension. Should it be a Saturday you meet the church? Should it be a Sunday? But by the end of the first century, the Sunday had become the norm. By the third century, it was legalized. Constantine made Sunday the legal day where you took a day of rest, where churches met. And that tradition lives on today in our Western society. And so it's practical for us to meet on a Sunday. If I decided to have a church service on a Monday every week at 11 o'clock, I wonder how many people would be in the room. Certainly wouldn't be as many people as we have this morning, because most of you'd be at work, you'd be at school, or you'd be at university. Okay, we're at what we call the weekend. Most of you are off. This is a good time to meet because we have the freedom to come along. But let's not be legalistic about this. If we were a Christian living in Bangladesh this morning, you wouldn't be going to your place of worship. You'd be going to your place of work. And you wouldn't be meeting on a Saturday. If you were a believer in Bangladesh at the moment, you would have had your church service on Friday past. The Christians in Bangladesh meet on a Friday. Why do they do that? Because they live in a Muslim country, and Friday is the day that the culture and society takes off. And so it's practical for them to meet and to take as their day of rest on a Friday. And I think that's highly acceptable. Let's not be legalistic about it, but they have one day in seven they set apart for the worship of God and for physical rest as well. So how do we view the Lord's Day? What I want to share with you here this morning as we think about this is principles. I think principles are the key thing. People love rules because that makes life easier. Black and white. Here's what you should do and here's what you shouldn't do. The key thing is biblical principles. Biblical principles to guide your life. I believe a Sabbath is relevant for us. Here are some principles. If we're to take a Sabbath, let it be a day of rest. That is the emphasis that we find here actually in Exodus 20. Let me read again verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gate. So what is the emphasis here in the commandment when God gives it to his children of Israel? Take a day of rest. You have 6 days to work and then take a day of physical rest. Sabbath rest was God's gift to his people. Sabbath was a demonstration of God's care. Don't work every single day of your life. See, humans can't keep going. Sure, we can't. So see him for the land. God also gave Sabbath rest for the land. You couldn't just keep farming the land year after year after year. And so there was a Sabbath principle. It wasn't in days, but in years. So you worked the land for 6 years. And in the seventh year, it was given a Sabbath rest, a year where it was just left physically. No, it wasn't plowed up, wasn't churned over, things weren't planted. Just give it a year to recover. And then you could sow your crops on it again. The land needs physical rest. We as people need physical rest as well. And that's why God ordained this day of rest. Rest is not a luxury. Rest is a human necessity. We as humans are like elastic. You've probably heard this illustration. Take a bit of elastic, you can stretch it. And we can keep going at different times. We are very flexible and we can stretch and we can go the extra mile at times. But if you keep pulling that bit of elastic, what is going to happen to it? It's going to snap. The same is true for the human body. Keep stretching it, it will break. Burnt out, stressed out, physically shattered. We cannot keep going. Actually, taking rest regularly makes us more productive. The work that we do after rest is more productive because we have allowed the body to recharge. So we need to actively pursue a rest day. It requires us to be intentional. It requires us to make some forward planning. If you're not intentional about taking some physical rest, you will soon fill your days with endless activity. There are times when we need to slow down and we need to take it easy. That requires planning. The children of Israel had to plan for their day of rest. God sent them the manna. He gave them extra the day before. And so they had to go out and they had to plan ahead. They had to gather double. This is enough food for today, but I also need enough food to feed my family for the next day as well. They made preparations in advance. They finished off their practical jobs. And so on, when the day of rest came, they were able to take physical rest. We need to do the same. You might have a day off work, but sometimes your day off work is busier than your day in work, isn't it? Because you fill it with so many things to do. Sometimes you go back to work for a break because you've just gone hectic through the whole of your weekend, whether that's one day or 2 days off that you have. You need to plan for it. You need to think it through. Are there things I can do in advance to make sure that I actually get a day of rest? Are there things I need to say no to? Joanna's nodding her head at this point, saying, I hope he's listening to his own sermon at this point. And the reality is, for most of you, a day of rest will happen sometime at the weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. But you may need to take another day. So you take a Sunday for me. Okay, it's a great day where I come to meet with God's people. It's a day of worship for me. But it's a busy day. I'm up very early. I probably rise earlier on a Sunday than I do any other day of the week. I go to my study. I do some final preparations. It's a day of preaching. It's a day of meeting people. And it'll go until late this evening. So it's a great day of worship. It's a great day of spiritual encouragement. But from physically, Sunday night is the time I crash, okay? Just mental strain, emotional strain of a Sunday. So I need to take another day in the week where it's a day of physical rest. Otherwise, I would burn out and I would break physically. And so for you in your situation, you need to think, okay, we're not looking for a list of here's what you do and here's what you don't. What are the principles? As a human, you need a physical day of rest. You need to plan for that and you need to prepare for that as well. Here's the second thing. It's a day of faith. I want to link this very much to the story that we find here in Exodus. God wanted his people to take a day off each week. What they took a day off was from gathering the food. That was an act of faith. It's a demonstration that God would supply their need. See, every day, at the end of the week, they would go out and they would collect double the amount of food that they normally collected. Now, if you read the story in Exodus, what normally happened to the food? What normally happened is if you, on any other day of the week, gathered more food than you needed, it wouldn't keep to the next day. So if you gathered double you needed on a Monday, and you ate what you needed and you had an extra portion left over, if you woke up on Tuesday morning, what did the children of Israel discover? It says that it had all gone off. You couldn't keep it. But when it came to the Sabbath, they collected double the day before, they ate what they needed, and they had this extra portion left over. Now, normally that food would go off. And they would go to bed that night in an act of faith. Would God provide for them? When they woke up in the morning, would that manna that they had left over still be fresh for them to eat? Would God give them enough bread to eat? So it was a test every week. Would God be faithful? Would God provide enough? And that's what they found. Every day, every Sabbath day, they would wake up and the food was still fresh. God provided for their needs. It's an act of faith, but it was also a great lesson. The great lesson is God had promised to provide, and he kept his promise. You don't need to work every day. You will survive. Do you know what the Sabbath meant for the children of Israel? There's enough bread. God will provide what you need. I think that needs to be true for us as well. There's a temptation to work every minute of every day, to earn more and to acquire more, to build up more and more. But how much of that is about building up our grades as opposed to meeting our needs? What did Jesus Christ himself teach on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious, because God will provide. And he referred to the animals, the birds of the air. Do they ever lack anything? No, because God will provide. And that's what the Sabbath is, the test of our faith. We don't need to work every day. God will provide our needs. Here's the third principle we see as we think about the Sabbath. It's a day of worship. Jesus himself worshipped on the Sabbath. As I said, the early church met on the Lord's Day. That was the main gathering. Yes, they met at other times in homes and so forth, but that was the day where they met together as the main gathering of the church. And it was a real blessing to them. Not only do we need physical rest, we also need spiritual refreshing as well. Meeting together on the Lord's Day is a day to refresh our soul. When we meet together, what do? We look back and we remember what Christ has done for us. We're going to do that shortly when we come to the Lord's table. We thought about it in the songs that we've sung already this morning and the verses that Kyle has shared with us. We think back and we remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. We will never be able to keep these commandments. We will always fall short of God's standard. But we rejoice because Christ has done it all. And it's good to meet with God's people, to be reminded of that and let it refresh our soul. It's a day also to meet together and to look around at what God is doing. And so when we meet in church, we hear about what is happening in people's lives, how God is blessing and working in different situations. That happens in our conversations with people we sit beside. Sometimes it happens at the front. Last Sunday morning, wasn't it great when Dave Ramsey came up here and he shared what is happening around us in our island and across the world through the work and ministries of our local churches working together. And so we look back and it refreshes our soul. We look around at what God is doing in our world and it encourages our heart and our soul. And also when we meet together, we look forward. We think about that at the table. We keep observing the Lord's table until he comes. We look forward. What we are doing here is just a shadow of something greater that will happen in the future. When Jesus Christ comes again, and we go to be with him, with our brothers and sisters in Christ from around the world and throughout history, and be with him forever and ever and ever. And what will happen when we go to be with Christ forever and ever? We will enter into eternal rest. There will be no need to work again. We will enjoy rest and spiritual rest in all its fullness forever and ever and ever. And so it's a day of worship. Today, when our faith can be refreshed, when we listen to God's word and let it minister to us, when we sing these songs with our brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage our hearts and worship our God, when we pray together with confidence that we have a God who hears and answers, and we enjoy fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Otherwise, we become spiritually fatigued. We become tired and weary in our Christian lives. But we need to be intentional about a day of worship as well. It's like physical rest. We need to be intentional to make sure that it happens. Earlier, Kai was reading from Hebrews 12. If you move into Hebrews 13, we get an instruction for believers. And the writer of the Hebrews says, "Do not neglect the assembling together as the manner of some is." Talking about meeting together. What is God's plan for his people? God does not believe in lone rangers, individuals. You will not find that in the New Testament. Yes, we come to Christ individually. It's a personal crying out by faith to God to save us. We come individually. But God's plan is not to leave us as individuals. God's plan is the local church. This group, random group of people, different ages, different stages, were brought together, joined together because Christ is our head and Christ is our Savior. And what is the purpose? That we would be edified, that we'd be built up in our faith, that we would be encouraged. That you can speak into other people's lives and they can speak into your life and encourage you in your faith. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, don't neglect the assembling together. Okay, when you gather together as the church, as the manner of some is. So what was the problem even in New Testament times? People weren't meeting together. I don't need the church. I don't need to meet together. I can do it myself, that arrogant attitude. No, the instruction, the command from Scripture is not to neglect it. And so that needs to be a priority in our life. It needs to be a principle. And so within our family, we don't have a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, of what you can do on a Sunday. Instead, what we try to do as best as possible is we try and put some principles in place. And one of these principles is, what do we do on a Sunday? We meet together with the church. It's the day our church meets, and that is going to be a priority in our lives. So our family at different times, there might be other things we could go to and other things that come along. And we always just put it through this principle. What is our main priority? We meet with God's people. We don't neglect the assembling together. So if something's a clash with that, it's the priority. That's what we go to. If something doesn't clash with it, then that's okay to go to that. We want to put a principle in place. Sadly, for many, meeting together isn't a priority. People, you'll come to church only if there's nothing better to do. But if something more attractive at the moment comes along, well, then we can just give church a Bible. That's the wrong principle. Let's set one day apart in a week where we put God first. We're going to meet together with our brothers and sisters, and we are going to worship him. We need to view Sunday worship not as a burden, but as a blessing to our hearts and our souls. So let's make it a spiritual priority. As we finish thinking through this morning, you know, I said at the start, is the Sabbath still relevant? Well, God knows what's best. And God knows that we as humans need physical rest. We need to rest our bodies, and so it's good to put that principle in place. But we also need spiritual rest and spiritual refreshment, and so it's good to make that a priority on the Lord's Day as well. When the Lord's Day is abused, what does it become? It becomes a curse and it becomes a bind. But when the Lord's Day is used properly, it's a blessing to us physically and a blessing to us spiritually. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your care and your compassion to us. And we pray for us. We pray for us as a group of people. Many of us are physically tired or stressed with too much happening in our lives, and help us to make this a priority or principle where we take time to rest, to let our bodies recharge, so that we can keep on working and glorifying you in our work, that we can keep on living for you and serving you. So to the best of our physical ability because our bodies are physically refreshed. Help us to take some time to put worship as a priority in our lives, to set apart time where we can meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, meet with our church family, to be refreshed by listening to your word, by singing together, by praying, by enjoying fellowship, and by trusting in you. Help us not to be legalistic. Help us not to make it a bind, but help us to put spiritual principles in place that will be a real blessing for our life. Help us, we pray. Guide us. Give us wisdom and discernment as we deal with this issue in our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.